a little introduction. On Wednesday, May 20th, New Zealand First MP Jenny Marcroft introduced a controversial new law attempting to enshrine the gender binary definition, or the attempting to enshrine a definition of the gender binary in law. That day, Parliament sat down for its first reading of the legislation, Definitions of Woman and Man Amendment Bill, a law that would amend the Legislation Act 2019, which outlines the overall principles for drafting and interpreting new statute laws made in Aotearoa. The amendment would insert clauses that state, in any legislation, regardless of gender identity, woman means an adult human biological female, and female means a human biological female. In any legislation, regardless of gender identity, man means an adult human biological male, and male means a human biological male. New Zealand First maintained this bill would add clarity and consistency to gender and prevent what they see as ideological interpretations creeping into the law. Meanwhile, Minister for Women Nicola Grigg remains unconvinced that the bill would advance women in any shape or form, and the opposition parties have labelled this bill a time warp designed to harm trans communities. Joining me to discuss this bill, we have Disability Rights Commissioner and Rainbow Rights spokesperson for the Human Rights Commission, Prudence Walker, here to talk more about this new bill and its intent and consequences. Good morning to you, Prudence. How are we?
Good morning, Zach.
It's great to have you on the program this morning. Let's talk about what this bill actually does. It's short. It's very short. Maybe the shortest piece of legislation I've ever seen. It attempts to define man and woman as their biological sex in an attempt to enshrine the gender binary in law. Their definition, though, isn't assigned female or male at birth. It's biological female or male. There's no references to chromosomes or hormone treatment. So how does this reflect the biological reality they think is a matter of fact when it's not?
That's a really good question, and it's difficult to see how this might be applied in the way that that some people are intending, but I think that what it will do is create actually a lot of confusion rather than clarifying anything, and I think that a lot of people will be confused about what it actually means, and people will make interpretations that are not actually what it's intending to do.
Mm. Because theoretically, a trans person who is on hormone treatment, whose body is changing, whether it's feminizing or masculinizing, theoretically they're biological male or female, correct?
So I'm not a medical expert. I'm working in the area of human rights, so I am approaching the conversation from that. But what I will say is that, like, I don't know about you, but I haven't had my chromosomes tested. And so while people may make interpretations around what my biology might be, I don't think that anybody can conclusively say. I can't even conclusively say because I don't know. I've never had that tested.
I get mine tested every day. It's a very excruciating, painful procedure. And introducing this bill, New Zealand First MP Jenny Marcroft said that what it means to be a woman is under attack, adding that the legislation reflects the quiet majority of New Zealanders. Isn't that a blatant admission of weaponizing a probable underlying anti-trans sentiment in this country?
You know, I think what it does say is that people are worried about some things. In the conversations I've engaged in, I have struggled to see where, to clarify where that worry is coming from. And I, you know, there isn't necessarily the evidence of some of the things that people are naming as problems. I certainly haven't seen the evidence of a lot of those. And so, you know, I think that we need to acknowledge that fears that people might have. However, in terms of a human rights lens and everything, actually, we all have a right to a life of dignity. And so that includes trans and gender diverse people. That means everybody. So sometimes you know, there are issues that we need to talk about and really say, well, if there is evidence of a particular issue and we need to uphold the dignity of everyone, how do we do that societally in a way that upholds everybody's human rights? I think, as you said, the Minister for Women, in the, her speech in introducing the bill, talked about a lot of issues actually that women are facing and there is evidence of. I guess the other thing is that, you know, we've seen there's a lot of women's groups actually who have come out and do not support this bill. And we've also seen a lot of Māori and Pacifica and ethnic, particularly rainbow organisations, speaking out as well. And so, you know, we all need to speak up. It is open for submissions currently, so I'd be encouraging people to make their submissions.
Completely. I want to talk about the human rights perspective in a second, but first I want to observe that there's it seems that there's a deep misogyny around the discourse on defining genders. For example, the classic question the right wing loves to throw around, what is a woman? This bill also prioritises women before man in most instances in the writing, and in her opening speech on the bill 2 weeks ago, MP Jenny Marcroft uses female gendered words 52 times and male gendered terms 13 times. It seems disproportionate and it kind of reeks of like trying to control women, no?
Well, interesting that you say that. You know, my understanding actually, for example, around women's bathrooms historically is quite interesting if you haven't looked into that, because from what I've read, you know, there wasn't women's bathrooms in public, and so there were real campaigns just for women to have dignity, to be able to use the bathroom in public. And so, you know, bathrooms are something that comes up in this conversation around protecting women. And my understanding from what I've read is never that that was intended to have a separation of gender and everything. It was intended to have a place for women to be part of society. And so actually, you know, where everybody needs to be able to use the bathroom with dignity.
Jenny Marcroft has cited the UK Supreme Court ruling that biological sex is the chief determinant of gender. Has this ruling had a sort of international effect in legitimising this rhetoric, this thinking about quote-unquote biological males and females?
I mean, I think certainly from what we're seeing overseas, there is different conversations happening around these issues, and I think there's, in terms of the sort of legislative environment and everything, we do have to recognise that there are different legislative environments in different countries. You know, of course, I'm not an expert in another country, but what I would say is that we have to be really careful to apply things to our context and again look at where this fear is coming from, where is the evidence, and regardless of the protections we need to have in place for anyone, that includes everyone. So it's including trans and gender diverse people, and this bill as it is leaves a whole lot of questions around that. And actually, I think, you know, has the potential to create a lot of danger. We've seen many trans people, you know, on social media and everything, speaking about these issues because, you know, we make assumptions about people's gender or sex, perhaps based on how they look, which is not always something we can be confident of in terms of sex variations, and of course in regards to gender diverse and trans people. So the environment that it creates, if society then feels like they should be sort of policing, for example, bathrooms, actually creates a really dangerous environment for everyone, including women.
It does. I think the classic example is, you know, TERFs, trans exclusionary radical feminists, bullying, and in some cases assaulting sort of butch presenting women who they might mistake as being trans men, I think, which is just like, it shows how ludicrous this ideology is. I want to look at the human rights sort of perspective here. Te Kahui Tika Tangata Human Rights Commission has noted that the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act 1990 and the Human Rights Act 1993 protects people, including trans, non-binary and intersex folks, from discrimination. Is there a way to prove in a legal sense that this new gender definition bill is discriminating them, to halt it in its tracks, or at least stave it off a little bit?
Well, certainly, like, we as the Human Rights Commission it will be submitting on this bill, and that is led by our legal team that we have, who are looking at domestic and international law and human rights obligations. And I imagine that there will be other people who are, in the area of law and everything, submitting on this. And, you know, that is important to look from that technical point of view. But I believe the Auditor General has also already, you know, made comment on this. That's for the select committee to look at, I suppose, on all that, and when they get all of those submissions.
According to RNZ, because this bill gives a technical definition of gender, it could impact how courts interpret the law in the future with regards to gender. Beyond the erasure of, you know, trans, non-binary, intersex folks, how would this legislation harm those communities directly?
The people that you talked about, the trans, gender diverse, in some cases it means that it's written like they don't exist, right? Because, you know, for people who do have biological differences that are not as straightforward as man, woman, in terms of how they present and everything, and in terms of trans people, it is no acknowledgement and creates, again, like I was talking about before, the potential for some really unsafe environments because of what people think it means. But, you know, in terms the legal sense, in terms of what you're talking about there as well, I think possibly could actually create an environment where actually that means that some laws using this definition may not apply to some people, and that's certainly not what we want. I mean, laws apply to everybody, which is why I believe a lot of legislation is not written with reference to woman or man, and is written in a way that it does apply to everyone. But in the cases where it is written with woman and man, I think it creates the potential for a lot of misinterpretation or correct interpretation, but that then actually creates really difficult situations.
Totally.
To be able to find a solution or to come to, you know, what the legal basis is of a situation.
A lot of ambiguity. And not to be conspiratorial, but to me it sort of reads as maybe the first of the first step in a more anti-trans direction, because it seems like the world is going through that at the moment. I do want to mention that last month Ipsos revealed a new issues poll showing what voters are concerned about. The top 10 issues were mostly bread and butter economic ones, you know, healthcare, unemployment, cost of living. Gender was nowhere to be found. To anyone with eyes, doesn't this read as this gender definition bill, doesn't it read as sort of conspicuous, divisive New Zealand First electoral strategy?
I mean, I can't really speak to the politics of it, but except for, you know, the Minister for Women did speak to issues that are of concern to women, and those would, you know, line up with a lot of things that you've just mentioned there. So I think certainly there are big issues to concentrate on that are around sort of the mere survival and well-being of people, and this is not does not carry the same weight
completely
as many of those issues that you've named.
It strikes me as rich. This is a government who wouldn't pay out women with those equity payouts, but they're claiming to protect them with this gender definition bill. It seems absolutely ludicrous. Is there a way to adopt a legal definition of gender that acknowledges both the complex biological reality and social construction of gender to protect, instead of harm, the intersex, the trans, the non-binary folks in our country?
That's a good question. You know, I'm really probably not qualified on the off the top of my head to answer that directly. I guess, though, what I would sort of ask in looking at that would be, what is the purpose of that? We can spend a lot of time on things that are sort of, you know, not meeting what people are really concerned about, as you've named earlier. So yeah, my question would be, what would the purpose of that be? And then people would work from there if that was something to happen, I suppose.
Well, thank you for coming on the program and taking time out of your day to talk to me. I really appreciate it, Prudence. Do you have any final thoughts, words, or opinions to leave our listeners with?
Thanks, Zach.
Oh, do you have any final thoughts to leave our listeners with? Oh, there we go.
Just to encourage people to do some thinking around this for themselves, and select committees are there for people to have their say. And don't be intimidated by that if you haven't done a submission before. It's actually not that difficult to do, to the extent of which you have the capacity for. Thank you, Zach. Great discussion.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Folks, that was Prudence Walker from Te Kahui Tika Tangata Human Rights Commission. Prudence is their spokesperson for queer rights issues. There are submissions, as Prudence mentioned, on this bill, which you can find by Googling NZ Gender Bill Submissions. It's the first result. There's also going to be a protest in the Octagon at 1 p.m. this Saturday, if anyone is interested in that. We've got...
That was a Radio 191 FM podcast! You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.